Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
Yeah. Could you imagine doing a count in like a one, a two, a three, and a, you got the silent four on that, right?
And a one, and a two, and a, we could do it that way with the silent three. Go back like
no, old school. No, why would you do this to me?
And a
don't
one,
change
and
it.
A two, and a.
Dude, I could just let's just get a whole horn section, not like the Alex horn section, but a whole horn section.
Yeah,
and just do like an entire ska intro.
Okay.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but like we listen to the music, and on like the seventh trumpet, you hit record. But. In order to time that out, we have to hit play on the music on the fourth trumpet of a different ska song so that we have the song playing at the same time.
Sure.
So we start at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Nice. Indeed. It's it's all ska all the way down. That's how that's the foundation of this realm of Earth. I don't know if people know that, but people used to think it was the world was on a turtle's back, but no, it's actually in the bell of a ska trumpet.
Yeah.
And that's why the universe is shown with like that circular vortex. Gravity is the trumpet bell. That's all that it is, folks. Just read.
That's all that it is.
Read Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. He tells you right there.
Yeah.
It's all ska.
On page 342, he explains that scientists actually started, what they did was they made a vector of that trumpet, like the beginning there, for a black hole.
Yep.
Because they thought that a trumpet, a solid one, a non-vectorized trumpet, was actually too much for the average brain to handle.
Sure.
And they had to pull it back.
And they vectorized it on like the grid, and that's why the checkerboard van is the number one selling shoe in the ska world because of its relation to
science.
Mm-hmm. That's it, baby.
Yeah, it's science, baby. Man, you guys learn something new here every single week, except for last week because we weren't here, and also next week because
we're also off next week. It's vacation time, everybody. So deal with it. The Big Bang Theory in ska, though, it's also called the pick it up.
I tried to do the back it up, but I was way too slow.
Oh, man. It's hard to do.
I couldn't get the offbeat in there.
Pick it up. I can't do the third one ever. I can do one, two. The third one, I stumble, and then I fix it on the fourth one every time.
Well, at least you fix it. Sometimes people stumble, and it's all lost from there.
You got to... I wished I would always want to be that guy if I was in a ska band, but I could never do it. Like I'd choke.
Your dream was to be the guy that was just doing the rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ba-da.
Pick it up. It's the best part of every ska song.
You know, once ska started fading a little bit into obscurity, they just became the brap.
Did you know that people. Ska was. It predates reggae. Ska was invented before reggae was. That's so crazy.
Yes.
That's another free fact, listeners.
I watched this video. Have you watched the Kids React videos?
I've seen some of them, yeah.
There's one that I watched recently. It's like 12 minutes long. But so, of course, I listened to the whole thing because I'm like, oh, man, give me some good tunes, right? And so they went through pretty much... the whole history of ska going back to like the 60s, 70s, like at the earliest stuff, which is, I mean, it's drastically different than what we have now.
And yeah.
Every generation of ska is crazy different. Like there's like new ska now. That sounds nothing like anything that I would have listened to.
I love that we both love ska.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Bam Margera bits, he's at Warped Tour. And he's walking up to these guys. He's like, yeah, you guys like ska? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, because that shit sucks. that one's burned. That's on like a CKY. It's like a one of the 3-second like clips in between other nice. Bit. Oh, I love that.
Just transition clip.
Exactly, yeah.
Love it. Love it. I love that, like, Jackass and, like, the CKY videos and stuff just keeps kind of wrapping back around, like, to a talking point. Because it's so good. Always relevant.
A big part of my life, my existence, and the basis of my humor.
Mm.
Is that in, like, the awkwardness of Tim and Eric?
I have not watched any of Tim and Eric.
Damn.
So I may need to, like, change that so I can understand that better. Not that I need a better understanding of you, but I want to know your roots.
Had I known that, like, we could have watched those when you were out here, because there's five seasons. Each one has 10 episodes, and each episode is only 10 minutes long.
That's it?
So you can, like, bang the whole thing out real
what?
Quick. Like, each season is under an hour, so.
That's incredible. Don't they have, there's a couple of movies, isn't there?
There's one movie, Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. Mm-hmm. There was a show they had before, great show, which was Tom Goes to the Mayor, which was, like, it's also really awesome and cringe and weird. And it's got this animation style where, like, they just drew everybody, but they don't animate them.
Okay.
So that was culty. Then they got Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. And then they've done their newest thing is Bedtime Stories, where they actually do, like, little horror stories. Also in 10-minute episode format. Maybe incredible. Those are 30 minutes now. But generally, they've always done the 10-minute episode. But yeah, man, some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Nice. Oh, man. Awkward TV. Shit, you might know this. Sarah had me watch a couple of episodes of it. It's like insert name here talks to you. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a first name and a last name and talks to you. And it's just like the most mundane. Like
I've heard of this. And it's supposed to be good. I have not seen it, but
fuck, I'll have to ask Sarah when she gets home.
I have heard of it just like recently. And it's supposed to be really good.
Let's say his name's Tim. Like, Tim talks about rocks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually going to look it up. I think it's just on YouTube. While you tell me more about Tim and Eric.
I don't know what else to say about Tim and Eric. It's got every hilarious celebrity or comedian you've ever heard of is probably got some weird guest spot on there.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. That's great. Like, I don't know. The whole show is sometimes a meta prank on some people too. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, no, I'm going to keep using my password. Don't. Okay. It's Tim. I was actually really close. It's, so a video, oh, I'm an idiot. No, God damn it. He's just a nerd that talks about rocks. Whatever. I'll figure it out later.
I sent you some stuff recently that we had talked about on the show and you liked both of them, I believe.
Yeah.
I forget what it was.
Pretty much every time after like an episode, you end up sending me a couple videos and it's always worth checking out.
I did send you the one of the bed with like the arm canyons.
Yes. Okay. So we talked about new beds a couple of weeks ago. And my God, when you said that this was like a bed where you could like put your arm, like there's a hole in the bed where you could put your arm into it, man. Oh, I think I talked about this last episode too. I don't care. Guys, you're getting a repeat.
it was creepy, we decided, because there could also be spiders in it.
Yeah, it's gross.
Not about that.
It's cringe. It makes my booty clench pucker up a little bit.
I just looked through. Another thing I'd sent you is I had steak strip Benny's at a diner when I was on my vacation.
Dude.
So, and I thought of my buddy, because you get Benny's when you go to places. And I was like, I'm going to get these for Shawnee.
Yeah, and how was it?
It was pretty good. I didn't send you a pic, but my other buddy, he actually got the one that I feel, if you were there, you would have got, because he got the crab cake Benedict.
Okay.
Because we were down.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
You would not have. Well, I only assumed you would have because you experiment sometimes, so.
Okay. if, okay, I would have gotten that if there was seriously no other thing in the world on that menu that looked more interesting.
Are you not a crab cake guy?
I'm not a seafood guy. So
not at all. That's shocking. No. I thought that we'd been over this. I thought you were a seafood guy.
No. I'm super weird. Like I'll have I'll just have a cold shrimp on a nice hot sunny day, but I'm not having it any other time, you know? And that's like in the company of other people. Like I'm not chilling at home just munching on shrimp skis.
Oh man.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound great when you just like if I was your buddy and they serve me a crab cake Benny, and I looked over at your plate and I saw a strip steak Benny, I would have regretted all of my life choices.
Fair enough, then. I just sent you some more. Like, dude, I love seafood. I got myself some oysters on the half shell down there, baby.
Okay.
Which are one of my favorite things in the world. That's just the raw oysters.
Yeah. And it was good?
Oh, they're fucking amazing. It was cool, okay, too. Like, the place we went to a seafood restaurant that was literally, like, on the water. So that was really cool. It was just, like, all these reeds and swampland. And got myself, me and Michael split a shrimp boil. A southern-style low-country boil. Oh, man.
Damn. You must have been in heaven, dude.
Oh, it was so fucking good, dude. We ate like pigs.
Did you try some alligator?
Did not. That place didn't serve it. I've had alligator before, too. It really does taste just like chicken.
Yeah, like fishy chicken.
Mm-hmm. Snake, too. I've had snake a couple times, and it also is just...
What snake tastes like?
Again, just essentially chicken. Same thing? Yeah.
Mm, gotcha.
Sometimes it can be a little earthy. I've had python, and that was earthier, but...
That's so random.
Not by much.
Oh, man. Dude, you didn't get eaten by an alligator. You sent us a picture, like, literally the second that... Well, not the second, but one of the first things that you saw in South Carolina was...
It almost was, like, the first second, because it was as soon as we got to the place we were staying, and I was just stretching my legs, and I saw a sign that said there's a $10,000 fine for feeding the alligator. And I was like, man, there ain't no fucking alligators here. And I walked over there, and as I crested just this little hill... Literally right next to the sign was the fucking alligator I sent you guys a pic of. It was like a juvenile, so it wasn't...
Yeah.
It was still big, man. It was like probably at that point, I don't know, 5 feet long?
Dude, too long.
It was still too long. A big boy.
Just chillaxing out on the lawn? Mm-mm.
It was cool. I saw him swimming one time. That was really sweet because there was like docks and stuff and you could walk over the ponds and it was right next to the pool too. I have to imagine, like, once they get big enough, they don't keep them there, dude, because there are a lot of people staying there.
Yeah. Dude, I would have flashbacks to watching, like, Pearl and X and be like, I don't know about going on that dock right now.
Yeah. It was it was cool. We also saw one more when we were golfing in one of the ponds off that, of course, I shot one of my balls into and was like, well, that's gone. But it was even smaller than the one at the place we were staying. It was a really fucking awesome time, though, man.
You fed that fucker a golf ball, and you should have just gone in there and smacked it around and be like, give me back my golf ball, you son of a bitch.
I did. I ended up having a way better time than I even expected to, but...
That's awesome.
It was really good.
Hell yeah. I'm just getting around to checking out those photos you sent me. One, that corner of the cob... looks delicious. Mm-hmm. And two, I love how like the oysters look so good and it's like presented real nice. And then there's just like two shitty little packets of
hot
saltines.
Oh yeah.
No, just saltines.
Yeah. If you want them, I don't use that. It's just lemon and salt for me, baby.
Oh man.
God, they were so good.
So random. So random. But dude, I'm glad you had a good time.
It was awesome.
How was everybody? Good?
Oh, they're all fantastic. Like I said, it was good to get away. And then everybody got home safe, too. So all in all, it's a good trip. And I had last week off because of it. And then what do you got coming up next week?
Headed to Vegas.
That's right. Vegas. And it's for, is it All Out?
For Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing. That's the name of it.
Yeah. The May show. And it just so happens, like, fall on... I guess, like, our anniversary. We don't really have a hard date, but
we don't either. We ended up just picking the date that we celebrate now, because you never, we didn't have a hard date either. So just pick what you want, man. It makes it more fun.
This ends up falling on, like, the same, the day falls on, okay, the week includes the day that she first asked me to come over and, like, make ice cream with her.
Nice.
Like, the first time we ever hung out. So it kind of is just like our anniversary week now. So it works out. A nice trip out of town, have some fun in Vegas. And, yeah.
Do a little gambling.
A little bit. She's not a big gambler.
I'm not either.
I'll make some money, but
I mean, you're in Vegas. You're gonna gamble.
Yeah.
You gotta do a little. I mean,
especially since this time we're not staying on like the outskirts of the strip.
Nice. And
I wouldn't even say it was like the outskirts. Like, we could have walked, but man, we are within walking distance of Tacos El Gordo.
Such a hype area for a fucking wrestling show, too.
Yeah.
It's fucking Vegas.
Should be a good time. Hopefully just a lot of people just strolling in, having a good time.
Yeah, dude.
We'll see. But we're staying literally in the same place. So it's at the MGM Grand Arena. Tight. And we're staying at the MGM Grand. And it's just, man, it's so nice to not have to figure out a way back to wander all around looking junk. For food.
That's a smart thing, dude. It's the thing you learn as you get older. And you're like, oh, this is way better. I'm doing this from now on.
Yeah. One moment. You keep going. Rupert's going crazy.
Sean has to go take care of his dog, who's going nuts. I'm imagining that the dog is barking at possibly the Massachusetts version of the Jersey Devil. I don't think he gets that far out there, but I'm sure there's got to be like a Massachusetts version of a cryptid. At this point, it's probably killed Sean. Oh, no, wait, here. He's coming back. He's back. I was telling the listeners, I'm assuming that your dog is barking at the Massachusetts version of the Jersey Devil. So, I don't know what that would be. It could be the Bigfoot. I don't know if Bigfoot's big around there. But,
man, he is going fucking ballistic. I am so sorry.
That's cool. Like I was saying, I was trying to guess if it was like some Massachusetts-based cryptid that is around you that he's flipping out about. And then I was trying to imagine what it would be, because I was like, I'm sure, I don't think the Jersey Devil gets that far outside of Jersey. He's in the Pine Barrens.
I mean, we have bears.
Yeah, but that's not really a cryptid. Are there Bigfoot sightings around?
No.
Not in Massachusetts? Not really?
No.
There's a lot in Indiana, and I think there's a lot in North Carolina. I think there's a lot in North Carolina, actually.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I think this is a hotbed.
That's crazy.
And then the Pacific Northwest has a lot.
I have no idea what he saw or is smelling, but hopefully it's okay, bud.
I'm going to look it up. I'm sure that...
All right, I'm back. So, no Sasquatch. I'm sure he saw a bear or a deer or something stupid.
I looked him up while you were taking care of it. So, there's a few cryptids known for Massachusetts. Bigfoot is known in the area. As well, there's one called the Dover Demon, which was seen in the 50s. Dover is a town, it says, south of Boston.
Okay.
There's the Gloucester.
Gloucester
sea serpent.
Okay.
Is there a lake or something around there?
Gloucester's on the ocean.
On the ocean? Okay.
Perfect Storm's Gloucester.
Okay. There's also the Hockomock swamp beasties. You know where Hockomock is?
That sounds like some hillbilly shit.
I believe it probably is. There's the monster of Coca-Cola Ledge.
Never even heard of Coca-Cola Ledge.
There's one called Puckwudgies. He looks like a little goblin type thing.
Huh.
There's a Ripopotamus, which looks just like a big fat alligator with no tail.
Man, I will say something is out there because I'm hearing now the dogs down the street going ballistic.
Maybe it's ET.
there's waddling around out there.
Just going. Meh, meh, meh. There's two more. The Silver Lake Frog Monster. Do you know where Silver Lake is? No idea.
Yeah, Silver Lake's in Pittsfield.
Okay, but you've never heard of the Frog Monster. And then there's also the Tawny Mystery Cats.
Okay, so Silver Lake is a lake in Pittsfield where GE dumped like all of their stuff into it.
All the PCBs,
it's like
bees in that junk.
Yes. Yep. And so it's a joke that there's like fish in there with three eyes. Like,
gotcha.
Rip that whole thing from The Simpsons.
Of course.
So I've never heard this frog nonsense, but we all joke like you don't go in Silver Lake.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So.
That's funny though. The Silver Lake Frog Monster is probably just a variation of that. That somebody
Silver
took seriously.
Lake Frog Monster. That sounds like the kind of shit that like
the high school kids make up around the area.
Yeah, but like the high school kids when my grandparents were in high school.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably got some age on it.
Like the era of it. Oh man. Speaking of it, you know what I saw the other day? And I just started watching it, was The History of It. Or Pennywise, The History of It. Okay. It's like this whole documentary about how they first turned the book into the original docuseries.
Okay.
Or TV series.
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Got a lot of footage of Tim Curry.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And a lot of like interviews with everybody that was in it, you know, with the exception of that one kid.
Oh, Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah. That's the one, Mr. Lady Bird himself. Anywho.
There's also in Lady Bugs. You remember that movie?
Is that the movie that I'm trying to refer to?
Oh, is it? I guess. Yeah, it's the one, the soccer movie with.
Yeah, Rodney I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it? I've seen it.
No.
I think I've seen everything Jonathan Brandis has done. You've seen Sidekicks, right? Come on.
Hold on.
The Chuck Norris flick?
With Beau Bridges. Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, dude, that movie's fucking classic 90s kid action movie.
Man, I couldn't tell you anything about this, but yes, I absolutely saw this.
He gets picked on in school and he has daydreams and fantasies of Chuck Norris being his best friend and beating people up with him. And then at the end, he gets to meet Chuck Norris at a kung fu contest.
That's freaking awesome.
Dude, it ruled.
Huh. Man. Yep. Well,
in his fantasy, he wasn't... Chuck Norris was still the hero. He was just his sidekick. That's why it's the name of the movie.
That's crazy.
He's never the hero of his own tale. Hey,
well,
speaking of being the hero... Oh, what were you going to say?
No, go on.
I was going to say, I've been playing Animal Well.
Yeah?
Yeah, buddy.
Tell me a little about Animal Well.
So Animal Well is a non-combat Metroidvania.
That's the first thing. When I first saw it, I was like, ugh, another Metroidvania in the style that I don't care for. Like this visual style, not a huge fan of. But then I watched a video and I'm like,
dude,
where's the combat? Is this just exploring? What?
Yeah. Not only that, so do you know much more about the game?
No. All right. Outside that you're just finding secrets everywhere, that's all I know.
So not only secrets, Sean, every single aspect of this game was made by one guy.
Sure.
The coding. He developed
his
own engine for it. He didn't use, the Unreal Engine, whatever. He created his own engine. He did the sound effects. He did the music. He did the voices, like the limited animal voices. He did literally everything. So it's literally one guy's vision, too. It's really, it's wild stuff, man. And like you said, like the depth and the attention to detail and care. Like if you watch the video of like just how the world moves, the reflection and all the water. Dude, it's so crazy. There's so much care and love.
Is it the same guy that did that other one from a few years ago that garnered so much acclaim because it was just one dude?
I don't think so, because this is the first thing this guy's done.
Oh.
Because it's also
that's really cool.
Why it kind of blew up is because this is also the first game that's being distributed and produced by Donkey's company. So I don't know if you know who Video Game Donkey is on YouTube. He does he's pretty big YouTuber. He does lots of funny, just like video game YouTube videos. But he started his own production company to like distribute indie games. And this is like the first one he's distributed to. So it's also huge because it's really fucking good and getting a lot of praise. So it's a win for a lot of people. And it's people that you like to see do good, so.
What I find captivating about the game after I saw it and, you know, I looked it up, I was on my Steam Deck and I was just browsing the store and I actually came across it, I think, like a day or earlier in the day than, like, Lanham had sent that. And then I saw you had mentioned that you were playing it, blah, blah, but what was really captivating about that was when you discovered that it's non-combat Metroidvania. And the first thing that I thought was, I don't know if I will play that, but that's, I think, absolutely something that Sarah would love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she loves games, but sometimes combat can be a struggle. And, you know, someone who hasn't been playing games her whole life. So I think that opens up a whole new world to a lot of other people in addition to the ones that already would probably enjoy it.
It's like it's called Animal Well, and like there's all kinds of real animals in it. And like I said, it's non-combat, but that doesn't mean that you can't get hurt or die in the game. And one of the roadblocks that you will come across frequently is like dogs that will like, they'll chase you, and if they grab you, they like shake you like a little toy. But one of the items you can get in the game is a frisbee, and what a dog's love is a frisbee. So if you throw the frisbee, they chase that, and they're distracted, and you can run back past them. It's cool little shit like that that like it makes sense logically, you know? And like you're like, yeah. Oh, and it works, and it's fun.
It's cool shit. Awesome idea.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely torn. I'm picking something up before my flight on Tuesday, and I'm torn between that and obviously Hades 2.
Yeah.
You know, it's I don't know if I told you, maybe I did, but dude, I have been playing Hades for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. I have just been doing run after run, just nose down, grinding, get it further and further and further, usually making it to Theseus and Minotaur relatively easy, and then just getting smoked. I'm like, man, how do people beat this consistently? This doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, I looked up Hades 2, and I'm like, oh man, is this even gonna really be for me? Like, I like Hades, and I've played it a lot, but like, I can't even beat the game. And like while looking up stuff for Hades 2, I was like, oh, well, let me look to see what like the best weapon is. And I should like just try to do runs with it. And then they're like, oh, we'll use, you know, this shield out of, you know, this of the four shields. And I'm like, what do you mean four shields? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And after a little bit of deep diving, I never knew. That after you play it enough, and I had this ability this whole time, you can pick up the weapon, and then where it was, you can click the button again to upgrade the weapon, to unlock new aspects of the weapon, to upgrade those even further. And it's completely changed my life in terms of playing this game.
Sure.
I've beaten it like 9 times now. Like, I'm trying different builds, I'm trying different weapons. I've beaten it with a shield, the sword, the spear. I've beaten it with spear like 4 times.
Yeah?
Because that Achilles spear is so freaking fun. But dude, I feel like such a fool. A fool!
I was trying to think of games that because I've had similar things like that. The only one I can think of right now is like when I would play Final Fantasy VII, and I didn't know what checkpoints and memory cards were, and I just kept replaying the fucking Scorpion fight, not knowing what the fuck I was doing, you know?
This is my favorite part. This is where Barrett swears, but it's a bunch of punctuation marks.
Yeah, like in Looney Tunes or comics.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that was my favorite part as a kid. I'm like, oh, he says shit there. Look.
But yeah, that's all right. So that's awesome that you have beaten Hades. Yes. I don't want to push you either way. I know if you do like Metroidvanias, Animal Well is a lot of fun, and it scratches that secret finding exploratory section of the brain real well.
Because
there's almost always something somewhere. So
I don't know if it's going to be the thing that wins out. Because if I do get it, it's going to be so that Sarah can play it on the plane.
Sure.
Because I'm not feeling that itch right now. But boy, do I want to play Hades 2.
Well, then get Hades 2, baby. Get Hades 2.
I just don't want to be selfish, Kyle.
Selfish,
I beat
baby.
Hades like 3 times yesterday and then another time this afternoon. Like, that's why it took so long for me to get back to you and be like, oh, I'm taking off the dog. I was in the middle of a run.
Well, as soon as you said that, I hopped on to today is there's an item I want in Destiny, which I already have one of, but I want a different version of. So I've been. I was like, oh, I can farm this thing. I can do a run in 10 minutes while he's walking the dog. So that's why I said, sure, give me 5 to 10, buddy. Then I'm good.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Because I was like,
I'm going to be obsessed for a while.
That's awesome.
I'm glad, man.
You just inspired me. I just went while we were talking. I installed Hades again. I'm going to play through
More.
There, it just finished. It's installed. So
that's awesome. Have you beaten it?
I think I've beaten it once. I think with the spear. It is so fun. Because that game's made by the people that made Bastion and Transistor and stuff, too. And they're really good at that shit, so.
Yep. Really good at putting out games that just people want to play. And from what I hear, I was talking to Dave from Beer Me a Movie. He hit me up. He's like, dude, Hades 2 is incredible. And that's actually what pushed me to get back into it. So I told him, I'm like, dude, I've never even beat Hades 1.
Yeah. Well, now you have.
I'm so hype. Man, I had like 4 back-to-back-to-back runs where I got to Hades easy and then just absolutely got demolished in his second phase. I'm like, fuck! All right, one more run.
You know, Hades had pieces of flair he made the dead people wear.
Oh, yeah? 17 pieces?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Shawnee boy!
Zagreus probably had 32.
How about that Office Space life, my friend?
Man, oh man. Okay, Kyle, this is a movie that I have seen bits and pieces of since it's come out, you know, whether it be going over somebody's house and they had it on in the background and you sit down, watch like 20-25 minutes of it and go on, you know, doing whatever you're doing. And then at different points in your life, coming back and seeing different parts of this movie. I think I've seen this movie in its entirety prior, just if I were to stitch together every previous watching, because there wasn't a moment of this movie where I was surprised, where I didn't see, like, I didn't know where it was going. Mm-hmm. It was just like the order of everything, where it happened. Like when they're beating the shit out of the printer, for some reason for some reason in my head, that was at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But then obviously the fire, whatever.
Yeah, it's really about the half to three quarters way.
Yep. This movie's pretty good.
Oh man, this movie
is pretty good.
It is, it's a cult classic now because famously, poor Mike Judge, he doesn't do well at the box office. His shit always hits later. I think because it's not even, I wouldn't say that it's smart because overall, Mike Judge has a really base sense of humor. He just, yeah. His shit is so often based in the real world. That's why I've always been such a huge fan of King of the Hill.
I was about to say, it's not smart, it's relatable.
Very relatable. He, like, understands, especially, like, with Office Space, like, oh, that dude was an office drone. He's worked in that cubicle life. I've never worked it myself, but I've worked in places that also, like, that cubicle life is a part of it. That shit's wild, man. Just people that sit at a desk all day answering emails.
I think even, yes, that's got to be terrible. I've never been in that situation. There's been jobs where I'm doing paperwork. Honestly, if I have to be down in my office doing, like, my office stuff, like, I just want to die. It drives me crazy. I'm bored all day. But I was just talking to somebody yesterday about printers. Like, somebody on their phone sent something to the printer downstairs to print, and she's like, oh, it's almost out of ink, blood, oh, why is this always happening? I'm like, man, I used to have this one printer probably back at like Home Depot that got jammed literally every other paper.
Yeah.
And you had to take this gigantic thing apart, rip out this piece of paper in tiny little pieces. It's just relatable. Even if you didn't work in an office, if you worked 10 years ago, you can relate to this movie.
I always forget about it because I quit the job after 2 weeks. I did have a sort of an office droney job when I worked at the call center, because that was just cubicle hell too, which is essentially what this flick is. It's funny, I have seen this movie countless times, Sean, and I don't know why it never clicked with me until this time, that the reason Peter stays so nonchalant is because the guy dies before he can snap him out of sending him into his relax mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the whole crux of the movie. I always thought Peter just stopped caring because the guy died. And he realized how futile life was. And I guess he kind of alludes to that because he does mention he's like, I don't know, maybe it was shock, but I'm starting to like realize, oh, I can't live like this forever.
Yeah.
And
it could be taken either way.
Yeah. But it's a goddamn, especially like when you are in that miserable state at your job, this is a terrible movie to watch because like, oh man, there's so many parts
of Mondays
that sticks out like that less so to me. Like the more relatable one is when he's talking about busting his ass and he doesn't see another dime, whereas Bill Lumberg's stock can go up a quarter of a point. And it's like, yeah, that fucking blows. Why would I kill myself for that? Fuck you.
Yep. Yep.
As he pulls in with his classic Porsche.
That says my Porsche as a license plate. So funny. So I love the way that this movie starts, where you have Peter, Michael, Samir all driving to work in rush hour traffic in the morning.
Peter's doing the most that thing relatable that we've to all me, done. Man. Goddamn. The lane switch.
We've all done that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get so mad.
Your lane's going slow, so you swap to the next one. And as soon as you do, that one slows down and the other one speeds up.
Damn it.
Chalky's back and forth. He's not even getting mad. He's just trying to get to work.
The display, though, of like having the old man with a walker that is continuously going faster than he is. And the final thing, he looks over and the old man is so far away and he's just like, goddamn beautiful, brilliant stuff.
Yeah. And then you cut from him to the personality of, well, Michael Bolton or Mike Bolton, which was so funny because even in like, I imagine if someone were to make a movie right now, they could also have this joke in there and it would be just as funny.
Sure. Yeah.
To me. Maybe not to younger folk, but to me. But he's just like listening to rap, just rapping along, having a good time, just chillaxing in rush hour traffic. And then Samir just getting pissed off every 2 seconds. So it's like this great like layout of all of these three different characters. Like,
and the, like the introduction of them and their
personalities.
Yep. Yeah. And it tells us who they are, in like, you know, under a minute. We get mm-hmm. it. Michael is high stressed and tries to act tough, but he's really weak, which is also funny because he has that obsession with the Navy SEALs. He has like a Navy SEALs poster.
Yes. Peter?
No, Michael Bolton.
Oh, maybe they met at Michael's house later. Because I did notice the poster later on, but I thought they were at Peter's house.
He does have a poster at his house, too. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's fun fact, the no talent ass clown, Mike Judge, is credited in the dictionary now as creating the phrase ass clown. It had never been
really?
Used. Yep.
Not Chris Jericho, huh?
Ass clown is credited to Mike Judge. It was the first time it was uttered. It was in this movie.
No way. It was. So I think either The Rock or Chris Jericho really ran with that yeah. for a while. And that was like a big insult. Because there's no way in like eighth grade, anybody that I was in school with had seen Office Space at this point.
So yeah, that's where it came from.
Amazing.
That one was good. Goddamn.
So then they end up getting to the office and you just see the humdrum life of them sitting down. They're already bored. Everything's frustrating. And you have poor Peter here who unfortunately didn't do the cover sheet for his TPS.
His TPS report, man. And his TPS you talk about the relatability, especially like Peter as like the stand-in for us, the audience, as the average person. Dude, the opening scene when he walks in and he doesn't want to touch the door because it's going to shock him. There was a fucking door at my old place that literally every time I touched it fucking shocked me and I hated it. And I learned to like, I'd like smack it real fast so that it would take the shock. Yeah, but dude, and the way that he comes in later and deals with it, but goddamn, that relatability, the sitting down at your desk at like 9:05 Monday morning and the chick's annoying voice across, and you're just, you're already like, dude, I got to get out of here. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Ah!
Like, case of the Mondays is like a thing. That is a real thing. Sometimes you just sit down on a Monday morning or you get to work and you're like, I fucking hate everybody.
I do not want to do this. I fucking hate
everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he forgot to put his cover sheet on. And so he's approached by three different people. Starting with Bill Lumberg,
played by the
fantastic Gary Cole.
Oh my God, crushing it. Maybe still his most iconic role.
I cannot see how anything else could top this.
Yeah.
Because this is, if anything from this movie, the most impersonated thing to come out of here. You got Milton, sure, fine. But Bill Lumberg, gonna need you to do that. Okay.
Yeah. I love the, hey, Peter, what's happening? Just, he's so good at just the smarmy boss that just blows you off, doesn't care. Like, everybody, he's like, yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in Saturday. I'm just going to go ahead and need you to come in Sunday, too.
And then somebody just starts talking. He's like, yeah, thanks a lot. Have a good one. And he's like already walking away. He doesn't not give a single shit about the response.
Dude, the fucking, the suspenders, the look, just so classic, dude. All parts of it. I've worked for dudes just like that, and I hate him. And I hate Bill Lumberg in the best way. Gary Cole, he's fantastic.
He's only rivaled suspender-wise later on in the movie by Bob Slidell. By the John McGinley.
John C. McGinley, just opposite. Dude, again, how perfect is this fucking movie, bro?
I can't, like, perfectly cast.
Diedrich Bader as Lawrence?
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, man.
Absolutely kills it. Like, when he walks over with his long hair, I'm like, did I leave Grandma's Boy in again? Because this is fantastic.
Peter! Check out Channel 9. It's the breast exams.
I love the world that they live in, that the wall's so paper thin that they just talk to each other through the wall to the point where Peter's like, just come over.
Yeah.
And then or like I love later the in the movie.
To outside of him coming out the one door going right into Peter's door.
It's just a U-turn out of the door.
Again, oh Mike Judge, is so fucking good, dude.
It's the small things. It's the small details. Like you said, like as simple and stupid as a doorknob shocking you.
Yeah.
Everybody has been through that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not the same thing, but man, dude, I had growing up, a centipede, a stand-up centipede arcade cabinet in the basement.
Okay.
That came from my grandfather or whatever. But it was cool. You could just open up the machine, turn it into free play, and we'd just all, like, play during holidays. That, air hockey, whatever. And it never did it for anybody else. But it had the trackball, right? And then there was four metal, like, round things, one on top, one on bottom, one left, one right, that were kind of bolting it in.
Sure.
The bottom one, so I'd have the base of my palm there, I'd be rolling. But the bottom one, if my thumb touched it at all, it went... It was like a continuous, dude, it didn't do it to anybody else.
Weird.
But it conducted like an electrical current through my hand if my thumb touched it.
Yeah. You learned to avoid that motherfucker like
playing? No.
No?
No.
Oh.
No, because you'll be playing, you get comfortable, and sure, your thumb goes, and you're like, ah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Ah.
So anyways, Peter's got a lot of shit going on in his life. His girlfriend, Anne, she's a bitch, probably cheating on him.
Yeah, I get that feeling too, man. I love that. Again, just everybody that obviously has also banged Anne, and they're just mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I get that feeling too, man. What do you mean? Nothing, man.
No, it just seems like the kind of woman that would be out doing that. Yeah, I like how the neighbor, Lawrence, is just like, he actually follows through and like explains what he's saying, and it doesn't help at all.
Oh, man. Bader is so good. Milton, by the way, too, is our fucking boy Fuchs.
Yep.
Also, Steven he got Root. That fucking role because when Mike Judge was putting this movie together, he had the people from King of the Hill do the table read so he could see how it was going. And he loved Steven Root doing Milton so well, he hired him he didn't bring anybody else in.
Amazing. What I didn't realize, obviously, because I've never sat down and watched it beginning and end, is that like this movie is just an expansion of like a short or a comic or whatever called Milton that
they were Mike cartoons Judge he used it. To do on SNL back before TV Funhouse, the Ambiguous and Good Duo stuff.
Okay.
Because that stuff was done by the guy that did Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Huh.
But yeah, before that, yeah, Mike Judge did cartoons called Milton. Again, back in those days when you actually had to do the animation, that's why Beavis and Butthead looks like such shit. Milton's also very similar because Mike Judge was like hand-drawing each frame himself. So he looks like a character from Beavis and Butthead. But yeah, he would essentially just talk about how he wanted to burn his building down. He hated his job. The Inatec building, again, goddammit, it nails just that bland corporate entity so well.
Yeah, and like the branding on the outside.
And the shitty art. Like,
yes. It kind of looks like how I would imagine, man, what is a big tech company right now? Not right now, though, but like 10 years ago. Before everything became like just like sheer glass, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like probably old Amazon headquarters or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of stenches of it.
Some of the biotech companies around here have that aesthetic too. And it's funny when you drive by and see them. I'm like, hey, it's Inatec.
Yeah. Well, they end up, everybody hates their jobs at this point, kind of, and it's a boring Monday. And so Peter rallies the troops, Michael and Samir, to go to lunch. What was the name of the joint?
That's Tchotchke's.
Tchotchke's.
Uh-huh.
Where Joanna, played by the wonderful Jennifer Aniston, works.
Goddamn. Again, how about this casting, dude? How perfect.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous, covered in her pieces of flair, which is just pins that they attached to their uniforms because it, anybody can eat a cheeseburger anywhere, but they come here for the fun atmosphere? And the atmosphere.
That's
and that includes your flair.
That was based on a real thing that TGI Fridays had until this movie came out, and then they stopped that policy. But they used to make their employees wear the different pieces of flair. Also, did you catch that was the Mike Judge cameo?
No.
Yeah, that's the boss. The boss is Mike Judge.
Oh, no way. Okay, yeah. So that's why he looks so familiar. The one that was constantly
like, and he's got like, the little mustache.
Yes, just, dude.
Yeah, that's Mike Judge. It's so fucking good, dude.
Dude, that character, I wanted to punch him so hard.
Exactly.
Because everybody knows someone like yes, him, man.
Especially people that work in the service industry.
Yeah, let me just ask you. So I noticed that you got the 17 pieces of flair. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to have. Yeah, that's the minimum. Are you just striving to just do...
Are you happy just doing the bare minimum? Just, dude, fuck you. And again, I love her later when she's like, fuck you, and she flips him off. And then she's like, and I flipped off some customers. And it's like, hell yeah, man. Fuck all of them.
Oh, my God. She's like, he's like, why can't you be like him over there? He's got 32 pieces. Oh, so do you want me to wear more? Oh, no. I'm just saying... You know, we if want you want to wear 17 wear. And do the bare minimum, you know, oh my God, what a condescending, passive aggressive piece of shit.
Yeah, dude, it's so fucking good. And again, he nails that part. Gary Cole as Blumberg is fantastic. All the bosses, the Bobs as the consultants that are just happy to fire people. Again, so the perfect. The two
Bobs. Dude, they're happy to fire people, but they don't do conflict.
Yeah. We let it sort itself out. We find that doing it on at the end of the day, Friday, is the best time.
Because it's the statistically the least likely time for there to be an incident. Oh my God. So fucking good. So that's when they're coming back from lunch. That's when they find out through Tom that they're having consultants come in. What do they call them? Efficiency coordinators? Experts or something,
yeah.
Where they basically interview you for your job again.
Yeah.
To see if your job's even worth it. And if it's not, they fire you. Mm-hmm. So he's stressed about his job. No one else is really cares. They're like, whatever. It's fine. That is until Peter goes to this this therapist with his ex or girlfriend at the time, mm-hmm. Anne.
Yep.
Who he goes, it's like, what, an occupational therapist or something?
Yeah, occupational hypnotherapist, because he does hypnosis.
Hates his life. Yeah. So he wants to be able to go through his days without hating his life. And he knows, as he says, he's too much of a pussy to say no to working on the weekends. Mm-hmm.
So he wants to days. Go. He asks if he can be hypnotized to where he goes. When he gets home from work, he feels like he's just been fishing all day. He doesn't even know he's at work, which is basically the plot to a pretty good TV show on Apple TV right now. What the fuck is it? It's got the dude from Parks and Rec.
Oh, dude, I know what you're talking about. It's not Equilibrium. It's something to do with the mind, right? Like, you go into work, but
it's also
when you go into work, your brain refreshes like it's two separate entities.
Basically, yeah, and they don't know about each other. So, like, dude, it's some wild shit, dude.
I'm looking up
Apple TV shows. I keep thinking Succession. Right, it's not Succession. No. It's something like corporate-y. Like Synergy, something like that.
Severance,
that's the one, which makes sense because you're severing. Anyways, it's funny because that's just a much darker take on it.
Have you watched all of that?
I've watched the first season.
Okay. I still need to watch that.
Fucking good.
Oh, there's only one season though.
Yeah, the second season is getting ready to come out.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It's really good.
I've heard nothing but great things about that show.
It's really fucking good.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, check that out. But yeah, Peter gets hypnotized to, he can't do that, but he's like, I can help you get rid of your stress and like compartmentalize it. And so he starts to hypnotize Peter. But when he gets to three, he has a heart attack and dies before he can snap Peter out of it. So then from this point on in the movie, Peter is the literally most relaxed, carefree, nonchalant dude. He goes into
does
work.
Does not give a shit.
He, instead of opening the door that shocks him every day, he takes the drill from the maintenance guy in the lobby and just takes the door handle off, walks in while Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangsta plays.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes about.
Great soundtrack in this movie.
Oh, all the hip hop is fucking great.
Yeah.
I love when he does that, when he fucking unscrews his cubicle wall and knocks it over so he can see out the window.
Mm-hmm.
The most gangster move of all, though, is when like he's going to leave and Lumberg like steps in front of him to talk to him and he just walks around him and keeps, it's like, god damn. I literally clapped watching it this time. I'm like, fuck yeah, Peter. Fucking go, dude.
Fuck him. Which is, man, just that right there, which you know pisses off Bill so much, tied into, you know, he doesn't get up that weekend. He doesn't go into work. He says, fuck this. And then he doesn't even show up on Monday. He just goes straight to Shotsky's,
yep,
whatever the fuck it's called, and asks Joanna out for lunch, which is fantastic. Because he's like, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to work. I'm not paying bills. I'm going to ask you out.
I love how he asks her out, too, because honestly, that's, yeah, if somebody asked me out that way, I'd be like, fuck yeah. He's like, do you want to come have dinner with me and then come watch Kung Fu? And she's like, yes. Yes, mm-hmm, I do.
Dude, his way even at the restaurant was kind of badass. I like how early in the movie he's like, I can't ask her out. Like, that's, I can't put her in that position. I'm, you know, she's my waitress. But like, man, I've thought about that so much through my life. But when he goes in there, he's like, you want to grab lunch? She goes, I don't know if I can. So he tells her, I'm going to go next door. I'm going to get a table. If you want to show up, show up. If not, cool.
Also cool. Yeah, just smooth as fuck, gangster as hell.
It was so smooth.
It's almost as gangster as going fishing when you're supposed to be at work and then bringing that fish in and gutting it on top of your TPS reports.
Yes.
How gangster, dude.
Dude, and that's after he shows up later in that day just to get his address book.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, the guys are here. The Bobs are here. So he just goes, oh, yeah, cool. I'll go do that. So he just walks in and does not give a shit. He's like, I got six bosses. Don't care. I'm not going to try harder. Why should I?
Oh, I love it. And I love that, like, it's the exact opposite of what everybody expects. The Bobs, I love that they go in on it. And as soon as he says, you know, I have eight different bosses, Bobs, they go, eight different bosses? And they start writing it down because, why? They're the efficiency experts. They start to notice, why does this one guy have eight different bosses? Who needs eight different bosses? Mm-hmm. Ah, and then later, if you notice, when they say that Peter needs a promotion and Lumberg is disagreeing with him, They start interviewing him, and then it's subtle, but if you notice even later, on his parking spot, he's been demoted.
I didn't notice that he got demoted.
He got demoted.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because I think
fantastic.
He's a president, and then later on, he's vice president. He gets demoted down to vice president.
Oh, because he's inefficient. So
yeah, dude, it's so great. I love the Bob characters more and more each viewing.
Oh, man. And it's one of those things that I'm sure I missed in the scene where you just see Peter pull in and park in Bill's spot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure it's right on there. And then you have Bill, you know, pull in, end up getting towed away or whatever. But it, man, just another thing that it goes to show, not goes to show, but another thing that people can relate to is like, when you feel like you work so hard, but you're expendable.
Yeah.
And then it always seems to feel like the people that don't really give a fuck are the ones that end up getting promoted.
That's not that exactly, but like the younger people that like I work with now, one of the things I try to tell, you know, be proud of where you work, but understand that like at the end of the day, you're a number to this corporation, man. They don't fucking care about you. If you die, they're going to have an ad in the paper for your replacement the same day, dude. You're just, so don't like get, don't kill yourself for a fucking company that doesn't care about you. It's not worth it. Yeah. Take your Saturdays and Sundays off, man. If they got that fucking problem, they can hire people.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yep. The fucking code is to fix the Y2K issue that dated this movie already.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It's, man, it's one of those movies that someone like you, someone like me, you know, when we were in school and everybody was talking about, oh, what's going to happen to the computers, the computers, the computers. Man, half the people that are around me at any given point were barely, like, half of them weren't even born before the year 2000.
None of them even knew what Y2K was. That was one of the first big cultural things I remember from my childhood, though, that, like, everybody talked about, everybody was aware of.
Oh, man. That in Heaven's Gate, the Hellbop comic.
I do remember the Hellbop, Heaven's Gate people, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild times, though.
Two big things for me.
Wild times. But yeah, I love the Bobs. A lot of ad-libbing in this movie, which is really good. One of my favorites is when the Bobs are talking about they're going to fire Michael Bolton and Samir not going to work here anymore, I'll tell you that. That was an improv by that Bob guy.
Stop. Dude, that guy killed it. That so line fucking, fucked me so hard.
That's such a good line. Not going to work here anymore, I'll tell you that much. It's so good, dude.
Oh, man.
That is one that has stuck with me. Oh, man, there's so many quotes in this movie that like are part of my everyday life that some people just still don't understand. Fuck, I was trying to think of another one. The whole, you know, busting my ass, I don't see another dime. That one has stuck with me forever. I use that quote quite frequently in my negotiation practices.
No way, do you?
I mean, I've used it a time or two before. You know, if somebody wants me to do something, I'm like, you know, nah, that's a me busting my ass for no reward situation. I ain't doing that. You Kyle know works. Kyle likes to help, but Kyle don't work for free, baby.
You know, that's a good way to live this life. I gotta embrace that a little bit more.
Yeah, man.
So you got Peter realizing that his buddies are getting fired, right?
Yeah.
So, and he's going to get promoted. So he comes up with a scheme where Michael can program a virus. And this virus will make it so that all of these thousands of transactions that happen every day where like a fraction of a cent falls off of the transaction, because that's what happens.
It's a rounding error issue. Yeah.
Yep. I had to deal with a dude. I had to deal with one of those last year where like one of the owners is like, why is this off a couple of cents? Dude, it was a full day thing for me to like call the owner and be like, yeah, it's just a rounding error issue. Like it happens to everybody. Oh my God. Anyways, so they take that would normally fall off and deposit it into an account. And that turns into this whole thing of, oh, well, isn't that stealing? Blah, blah, blah. Well, fuck the corporation. They suck. Whatever. So they plan all this out. And this actually wraps back to something we said earlier. And that they're meeting at Peter's house. And he goes, all right, nobody can tell anybody. Not your girlfriends. Not your family. Nobody. And everybody's like, got it. And then you got Lawrence next door being like, I won't tell anybody either, man.
It's like, what the fuck, dude? Who is that? And he's like, don't worry. He's cool. Lawrence is cool too. I love it. Lawrence is cool as fucking hell. Again, another one of the classic quotes. What would you do with $1 million? Me? Man, I'd do two chicks at the same time.
Such a good quote.
I love that. I love when he's asking Lawrence, he's like, hey man, at your job, would anybody ever say they've got a case of the Mondays? He's like, nah. Shit, nah, man. I think you can get your ass kicked saying that. Lawrence has some of the best lines, dog.
He's so good. That role perfectly cast. Everything in here, again, perfectly cast. And so this one thing leads to another. He ends up going to the ATM and just looking at the balance on that bank account. And it's over $300,000.
Within less than a day.
So clearly Michael screwed something up in the virus, which he had a pretty funny line of, oh man, I must have missed a zero or punctuation somewhere. I'm always doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, no wonder you got fired, bro. what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so they're now stressing out that the cops are going to get involved. They're going to jail, bloody blah. But fortunately for them, Milton has just been had.
Yeah. Before that, Peter's said he's going to do the heroic thing, the manly thing. He's going to take all the blame so Michael and Samir don't get in trouble. And he goes and he slides his confession under Lumberg's door. And then I love he has that realization. Again, the relatability of the instant regret, and he tries to dive under the door and get it back immediately. Mm-hmm. What I love is that we find out later with Milton is that had he just opened the door, it wasn't locked. But he never tried to open the door. And he could have got it back the whole time. And they could have had the money. But he didn't, because he didn't need it.
Nope.
But yeah.
Because Milton.
Yep.
Milton, our bumbling boy, which everybody, if you haven't seen this movie, if you're around anybody of our age group, you've heard my stapler.
My stapler.
You know. Everybody's said that he's just bumbling and mumbling through this entire movie, wearing those glasses that make his eyes absolutely gigantic.
Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. And his stapler, for clarification, is a sweet ass red swing line stapler.
Yep.
Which swing line did not offer at the time of this movie. They had that.
No kidding.
They had that one custom made. They took it to a car detailing shop so they could spray paint one or airbrush one in that bright red. And then because of this movie and its cult status, Swingline got so many requests and orders for a red one that they didn't make that they put one into production. And it's one of their top selling items is the red fucking stapler because of this movie, dude.
Is fantastic.
Isn't it crazy? Just I love the impact.
And I love the backstory that a stapler has in this movie, that they switched from Swingline to whatever the other brand was. But he's like, but I kept this one and I kept the Swingline stapler refills.
Because it works so good and I love this with my stapler. And then
and if they make me move my office one more time, I'm going to burn the building down. They've made me move 3 times this year so far alone. And it turns out that the Bobs figure out that there's something wrong with this Milton character because there's no record that he works there.
Yeah, he got fired 5 years ago, they said.
5 years ago, but because of a glitch in payroll, he keeps getting a check every week. But don't worry, they took care of the glitch.
They fixed the glitch.
They fixed the glitch. So are you going to fire him? No, we fixed the glitch.
You're not. We fixed the glitch. I love it, dude. It's just.
The fact they're like, he's going to eventually get sick of working for free and go away. No, Milton doesn't.
No.
Milton just keeps crazy. Going. So I talked to HR and HR says they don't have anything to talk to you.
Mr. Lumberg said I got to talk to HR and payroll. These fucking horrible people just give him the runaround. I'm so glad that you love this movie, man.
And then put him down in storage, so that he doesn't have to see him anymore. It turns out that he burns the building down.
Sure does. Which also burns up all the evidence of the boys even committing the crime in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's beautiful. Peter has given up his white-collar lifestyle and joined Lawrence on his construction crew in the blue-collar lifestyle. And he seems much happier.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta do what works for you.
And it comes full circle because in the ashes of the burned-down Inatech, he finds the red stapler. And he's like, I think I know a guy that would like this.
And it turns out that Milton is in a place of his life where he can speak up for himself. Unfortunately, nobody gives a shit about Milton, but Milton could speak up for himself.
Yep.
I'm not going to tip you if you keep doing this. I asked for no salt.
Oh. But yeah, I'm very happy that you finally watched it from start to finish and that you did enjoy it so much. Oh, goddamn, we didn't even talk about another one of the most famous scenes. Show her my O-face. Ow. 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 That fucking guy, Drew. God. Drew is also great.
Drew, Greg Pitts. Yeah. Greg Pitts just has a face that, like, I'm looking at his IMDb right now, and I feel like I should recognize him for more stuff right now. Like, yeah. He looks like a face that I wouldn't mind seeing on my TV.
I wouldn't mind in punching. Different things. Well, Lambert
a punchable face? Oh, man.
I also good. I had... I had two ideas for the title card. I think one should be them with, like, in the field with the bats is one idea. Yeah. And then the other is just, I think it was just Lumberg with his arm up, you know.
I think that's probably going to be the easiest one for me to get a still of.
Sure. It's also iconic.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody knows the scene, whether you've seen the movie or not.
You know.
You know the scene.
You know.
Yeah.
Wait, you want to give it some ratings, buddy?
I do.
Okay.
I would like to give
it some ratings. Do you have yours? Because if
yes,
not.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It just popped into my head.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got Tom, Mr. Nervous that he's going to get fired. He does get fired.
Sure.
Tom gets fired. Poor Tom. Tom took it real hard. Tom went home, put back, looks like a pint of whiskey, got in the car, starts running it in his garage. And fortunately for him, his wife comes home and he's like, oh, you know, the door wouldn't open, blah, blah, blah. But it was in that moment that he realizes he wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, he continues with the charade. And he opens the garage door and he starts backing out. And the whole while he's waving at his wife. And then he gets smoked by a drunk driver. Just that car just gets demolished. Kyle, if you were Tom in this scene, based on your enjoyment of the movie, Tom breaks both wrists, both legs, his ribs, and his back.
Sure.
Both wrists, both legs, and then the back. On a scale of 1 to 6 broken bones. Well, let's say 10 ribs got broken. On a scale of 1 to 16 broken bones, how many broken bones are you giving this movie? In honor of Tom, who survived.
So he could get his $1 million and his jump to conclusions, Matt. I mean, honestly, dude, even this time, enjoyed the hell out of it. I don't know. I'm sure you noticed too, when you started, this movie comes in at the perfect 1 hour, 30 minutes long. There's no
first thing I saw and I overjoyed.
No other way I can give this movie anything less than 16. It's a perfect movie, Dob. Still love this movie.
Fantastic.
Still cracks me up to this day. I laughed so many times watching it. It so perfectly encapsulates corporate America in the 90s. Mike Judge is a genius at his realism, and his humor based in it adds so much relatability to it. It's the absurdity of human life, and that's what I love about it and about his style. So yeah, absolutely perfecto. Shiny boy, if you, and I can't believe you didn't take this fucking freebie, if you were a waiter working at a themed restaurant and were required to wear between 1 to 15 pieces of flair, how many pieces of flair would you wear to celebrate this movie? With 15, of course, being the absolute greatest. You can't overachieve if you'd like.
Okay, so yes, this is a freebie, but also I've just been sitting here staring at Tom. Richard Real? His picture on IMDb and great just
character
like
actor.
I can't help but smile looking at him and just like think about how wonderful I thought his role in this movie was. So I had to go with that. But on this toss up and smoke out of the park, easy shot here. I'm going to give it. I'm actually going to match you at 16.
Wow. Okay. So you want even one above and beyond.
And, you know, that's not saying it's getting extra credit. I just wanted to match yours and be sure. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm not doing the bare minimum.
I respect it. I dig it. And I love it. Because this movie fucking ruled, man.
First thing I saw when I opened Max was an hour and 30 minutes. And I'm like, fuck, yes. Let's go.
Nice.
And then it goes back as such a fast clip. And watching this in 2024, knowing all of these actors and actresses, mm-hmm. and just like they're appearing, you know, so fast and so rapidly that you're like, oh, yeah, I love them. Oh, yeah, I love them. It's so nice to just have that. And the story is fun. Everything in it is relatable down to the smallest of details. I love that they like reference like the whole scheme that they're doing is from Superman 3.
Yep.
And they just keep like referencing like that Superman and like, oh, 3. It's underrated. Yeah. Underrated movie.
So good.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. This would be a movie that I could toss on anytime.
Anytime.
In the background of anything that I'm doing.
And have a good
and
time.
And just like after like 10 times of watching it, I'll just start quoting it. And I don't care. It's like a Happy Gilmore style movie.
Exactly. Exactly. It's in that zeitgeist. So. I'm glad we did that, Shani.
Yeah.
I think so we're off next week again. Surprise, listeners. And then the week after, I think we're going to do a top five. But I think we should just think about it and pick it off air because I don't have an idea yet.
Yeah, I don't have an idea for a top five, but I would like to toss the Benchwarmers out there.
I would like to do the Benchwarmers. We could do that.
Because you haven't seen that, right?
No, I've seen it, but I do enjoy it quite a lot. We talked about that in our Happy Madison breakdown of shit. Yes. So, yes. But I would do Benchwarmers.
Hell yeah.
We can see
I think
how
there's
it
a Benchwarmers
up.
Too.
Oh, God.
As well.
Oh, God.
I don't want to watch that, but okay. I will.
But yeah, until then, Shani, why don't you tell the listeners what they can do next week and this week?
There is a second one. They can go staple themselves. Oh my God. Dude, it's got Chris Pine.
All right, Sean, it's a three-part would you rather, but
what
you'll only give an answer to one. But the question is, Sean, would you rather be a waiter in a tacky theme restaurant, a office drone coder, or a blue-collar construction worker?
Oh, man. I feel like this could be a good fuck, marry, kill. Okay, so the desk is out.
Okay.
Absolutely out. I mean, at this, probably construction. Okay. At this point, I don't want to talk to nobody and I don't want to sit at a desk.
All right. I like that. I like that we modified it and made it that, but it was really relatable too. So
it was the same. It was the same.
All right, buddy. So, I love you.
Love you too. Mwah.